Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Do you like stories of redemption? I've got a story today told by the very people who experienced it. Now, this is one where you have to pinch yourself to see if it really happened. Irish poet and novelist Oscar Wilde wrote, "What seems to us as bitter trials are often blessings in disguise. Some trials come upon us like a tsunami, so intense, so quick, overwhelming, we could never really have prepared for it. Others are self-inflicted. You know, the ones that we cause that stem from deeper problems, emotional responses, untimely choices that we make that make the difference between a life of pain or a life of healing and hope. What happens when you find yourself in the gutter of life?" I want to let you know at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is that we believe that God has given us the privilege of leading you closer to Jesus Christ. No matter how far you think you've gone, you have not gone so far that you cannot be brought back by the love of God through Jesus Christ. He is able to reach you, to touch you, to love you. He is able to reach that loved one of yours, that family member, that friend who you think there is, this side of heaven, there is absolutely no hope. But with Christ, with God, all things are possible. Tanya Williams and Margene Oyama will forever be connected as friends and sisters in Christ. But it didn't start off that way. I want you to hear it firsthand from Tanya and Margene. Tanya, Margene, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
Hello.
Take us back. Before we talk about how you met, well, I think you already kind of knew each other before, but you really got to know each other in a very unique way. Mm-hmm. Tell us where you grew up, Tanya.
Oh, I grew up in Pearl City all my life.
So Pearl City girl.
Yes, Pearl City girl.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. What was it like growing up in Pearl City for you?
It was good. I mean, you know, summer fun and just having fun with friends and stuff. Actually, that's how I first met Margene, was through summer fun, because all the different elementary schools go to the same summer fun.
Okay. About how old were you guys at that time?
For me, it was elementary school. I don't know exactly how old.
So you guys went to the same preschool? I mean, summer fun? Elementary school.
Different elementary school. So I didn't know her from elementary school, but just in the summer fun program.
Probably, okay. I was about, what, fifth? I was probably in the fifth or sixth grade, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys met each other. You guys weren't really close friends.
No.
At that time, you just knew each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, what was it like growing up in Pearl City for you, Tanya?
I mean, it was good. I wasn't, you know, I had a lot of friends. Just wanting to enjoy life, you know, and
be a child.
Yeah.
Enjoy your childhood. Yeah. What about you, Margene?
Oh, for me, I had a lot of friends. A lot of friends. I like, I guess, to hang around with the bad girl crowd. Okay. I don't know. I mean, I was raised in sports, from a sports family because mm-hmm. of my father and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So I was cheerleader and stuff like that. But then I just like to hang around with the bad girls. Like I did, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what brought that on? What would you say, you know, kind of made you gravitate or caused you to choose to gravitate to the quote-unquote bad girls?
I guess I just like doing what they did, I guess. I don't know. I guess it made me look and feel important.
Yeah.
Tanya, tell us your story. What did you experience in your journey? Now you're a Christian mm-hmm. woman now, but tell us about your journey to your relationship with Christ.
Okay. Just like Margene, I think I stayed with girls that weren't always in class. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, we can't see bad but, girls, because, yeah.
I mean,
that's a very soft way of saying it. Girls that weren't always in class. You were able to avoid using the word cut class.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I guess just hanging around with all of us, I don't know if it was just being bored or... what, but we just started doing drugs, smoking Pakalolo during high school, and then it got to be where we tried crystal meth, and I liked it, and it took me down some dark paths. I mean, in my journey, I've hurt a lot of people with my drug use. I've been on drugs for like 18 years. So during all of that time, you know, I got married, I had kids, and was still doing the drugs. So... It was really hard.
So this started when you were middle school, high school? What?
I started smoking Pakalolo, I guess maybe 8th grade. And in my high school years was smoking. I tried the coke and stuff. I didn't really care for it. But the ice was right after high school. Right after high school.
So now you're on ice. You fast forwarded to, as you told us, it was 18 years of your addiction. In the meantime, you were married. You had kids. How many kids?
I have 3 kids.
3 kids. So you had the 3 children while you were still on it.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us, you know, you said you went down some pretty dark or pretty low places.
Yes. You know, just being on the drug in the beginning, it's fun, you know, just the high that I felt, I had fun. And then it gets to a point where you feel like you need the drug. I needed it to get up in the morning, to get my kids to school. And then it was like, it wasn't even for the high, it was just to be able to, get up and continue, function. Mm-hmm. And just the different dark roads. I mean, I just thank God that I had my mom and my husband, who through all of this, they were like my kids mom and dad. I mean, my, of course, my husband, but my mom was like their mom because I was just not there. Physically, I could have been there, not mentally. I mean, even if I didn't have the drug, I would just go into hibernation, like, for days. And I would actually, I mean, I feel really bad saying this, but it's true. I would actually call my mom or my husband from work, telling them to come home and pick up my kids because I didn't want to pick them up because I was just, I didn't have my drugs. It was that bad. I was not a nice person.
Yeah, she wasn't.
Ooh. Yeah, but I really wasn't. I really.
She wasn't.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, share with us a little from your perspective, Margie.
Because she would call me and she would demand it, and then when she would want it, she would want it then, yeah. Now, and mm-hmm. and if I didn't have it, then I would get the attitude treatment from her.
Yeah. You know, as you're listening, you're kind of getting a hint as to why I have these two dear ladies in studio with me together. Mm-hmm. Because as we continue in our show, you're going to hear an unfolding of a marvelous story, a true story being told to you by these women who experienced it themselves. They've experienced literally a marvelous touch from Almighty God. You wonder sometimes, does God still touch people today? Can God still perform miracles? Does God still call people to special service? You're going to behold that in our show team. When we come back from our break, we're going to hear more from Tanya. She's talking about how dark the path had gotten for her and for her family. Now, you can't see it. Maybe you can hear the quiver in her voice, but I can see it in her eyes. But you also hear from Margene and Margene's perspective. And a key role that Margene played in all of this. And that's part of the marvel and amazement of it all. When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from Margene Oyama and Tanya Williams. If you're by a phone, you might want to call somebody to check this out. 99.5 FM KGU. Call them. Tell them to listen in. Or go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. They can listen 24/7 to hear this broadcast. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, namelessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org and remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Tanya Williams and Margene Oyama. They are here, they are articulate, they are people who have been touched by the love of God. Mm-hmm. But you know their story, before it took the turn for the better, had taken many turns for the worst. And I want you to really grab hold of this. Go ahead and text a friend, a family member, have them check us out at 99.5 FM KGU, or they can visit us, listen to this program. You might be thinking, man, I wish this program could be heard by my uncle or my auntie, my brother, my sister, my child, or my parent. Have them go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. Before our break, we're talking with Tanya. She was sharing some pretty gut-wrenching stuff. I know it was hard to share about the pain that it took her family, she put her family through with her drug addiction, her addiction to crystal meth for 18 years. She was married, 3 children, and her mom basically took her place like as a mother and helped her husband raise the children. But now, before our break, Margene was talking about how difficult Tanya could be. And we could kind of get a sense, because she was calling you. So what was your role in all of this, Margene?
I was her drug dealer, yeah.
Now, you know, give us a glimpse. You know, people that live in that world mm-hmm. of drugs, they would know without, just by experience, but there are many who don't really know what it's like in the world of drugs and now in this case drug dealing. Mm-hmm. First of all, how did you get into it?
Well, I've through my high school years and everything, I've always been into drugs. I always tried experimenting with drugs. So I'm not proud of it, but I did a lot of drugs, and then I came to a point in my life where I was going to quit. I was going to quit everything. I was quitting everything. And then I met ICE. Hmm. And then from there, it just took me to places where I never been before and then always wanted to be. But when I first started dealing, the high was my money, was the money. When I saw the money that I could make off of it, and then eventually the drug would, you know, be my high also. But
so you're dealing drugs. Now just give me an idea. Give us an idea. Like, what do you call the people that are buying from you? What do you call them?
My clients.
Okay, your clients.
Yeah.
Like, how many clients you have?
I had a lot. I mean, not trying to brag or anything, but I was pretty much up there. So I had a lot of clientele of all walks of life. I had news reporters, people that you wouldn't even think that would do ICE were doing ICE.
But now, all walks of life, you're talking
news reporters.
People with money.
Yeah, money, no more money. Well, but let me just say this. I mean, I never dealt with two kids. Mm-hmm. That's one thing I never did was two kids or teenagers, but it was always, yeah. so I should, yeah.
Okay, so Tanya was one of your clients.
Yes.
And now you mentioned that she was a pretty tough client, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It was really, really bad. I mean, even like when I didn't have money, I don't know, me, Margina, and my mom, we were having this discussion, and I brought up this time that I wanted money so bad. So I mean, I told my mom that people were after me, and so to give me the money. I mean, it still hurts me. And when she heard that, I just made that up to get the money, just the hurt in her eyes that I caused. I mean, still just dealing with so much, you know, pain of just how many people I hurt.
Yeah, because just
that way.
Just recently, Tanya's mom found out that I was the one she was getting drugs from. And it kind of like, because when I heard her say that, that's what she used to tell her mom them. And then her mom found out that I was the one dealing the drugs to her. I was like, because I had a close relationship with her mom and with her family also. I mean, we used to go play bingo and everything a lot, and then sports and stuff like that. But yeah, so her mom, I could see the hurt in her mom's eyes, but I also was like, Tanya, I hope you're, but it was lies. Like she said, she was lying, but I didn't want her mom to think that I was the one that was, because it was never like that. Actually, Tanya used to give me a hard time. Yeah. I mean, me and her, our friendship went astray because of it at one time, because I just couldn't handle how demanding she was. And then I always felt sorry for Paul, which is her husband, because he went through a lot with her, too. Yeah.
Tanya, how did you find Christ? And what difference has your relationship with Jesus made? Take us down that path. It's been pretty rocky already, just telling us this part, but tell us, let's get to the good stuff.
Yeah, my oldest son played soccer, and the coach, Coach Brian, went to Grace Bible, and he would always invite Bronson, my son, to come to church. Friday nights they had for the elementary kids to just, I guess, like a small group, and they teach the Bible and stuff. And so he would go, and he, my son Bronson, invited me and my husband to come to church. And my husband, I mean, he wanted to go. I didn't want to go because, you know, still doing the drugs. I don't want to go to church. So my husband would go, and then we would go to the soccer games, and I would be, you know, sitting down, and there would be different parents saying, "Oh, Tanya, I saw Paul at church today. What happened to you?" And then I'll be like, "Oh, I was, you know, making up some kind of lie." And when we get in the car, I'm like, "See, Paul, why you have to go to church now? It's like, I don't want you to go to church, because now all these people are going to be asking how come I'm not going." You know, it's like I was so, and you know, he kept telling me, "Just come, you know, just come. I think you would like it, you know, like singing on the worship team. They sing good songs." I don't know how long it took me, but one day I just went to church, but I had to go high because I couldn't get up. I went high. And the message, it touched me. I felt like he was talking directly to me. And I was looking to see if anybody was looking, because it touched my heart. I was crying. And so it wasn't so bad. But then they were trying to get me to go to a small group. And I was like, "Oh, no, that's where we draw the line." I mean, coming to church, being in my own little bubble, I would go high and come home, it would still be like the same kind of routine. But to go to a small group, it's like, that's like interacting with people. I didn't want to do that. I don't know how long it took me, and I finally told this one lady that I would go, Pastor Kathy. When me and my husband were going, I told him, okay, Paul, we're going to go there. And when we go there, when I give you the eye, that means it's time to go, you know. And he's like, okay. So when we got there, it was, you know, I was saying hi to all these ladies, but that wasn't the kind of people that I stayed with. Mm-hmm. It was all working class Japanese ladies, and I'm Japanese, but that's not the type of people that I hung with. So it was like an uncomfortable feeling, because I did go high also. And as we were talking about the message, it was about moving mountains, and I don't know, something stirred in me. And I didn't realize that I was going to be telling these ladies that I do drugs, but I did. And it was such a relief when I told them that I did drugs, and just the overwhelming love that I felt when all of them didn't judge me. And they prayed for me, and that's what broke my drug addiction. I haven't done drugs since that night.
That night?
Since that night. I mean, and I wasn't going there thinking, oh, okay, you know, I mean, I was telling my husband, when I give you the eye, let's go. And it was just, it touched my heart. And I just felt like it was coming out that I had to just say this. And I didn't know what they were going to think, because, you know, that's not the kind of people I stay with. I thought they would judge me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what made me just come out and say it. But once I did, oh.
Now, how long ago was this when this happened?
I've been going to church since maybe the end of 2000, so in 2001.
So about 10 years ago.
Yeah.
10 years ago. And you haven't, that was that, after that night, that was it.
After that night, that was
it. You know, I want you to kind of share a little bit more of what that's like to have been delivered in a moment like that. Mm. Share that with us. And then for 10 years.
Yeah.
One decade, just clean.
Yeah.
And, it's an amazing thing to see what God has done in your life. And I want to hear more about it. I know our listeners want to hear more. But then I also, when we come back from our break, we got to go back to Margene Oyama.
Yeah.
Because God was not finished with her.
Nope.
Her who was the drug dealer.
Yeah.
When we come back from our break, you're going to hear more from Tanya Williams and Margene Oyama. Stories, real life stories about where they've been, what they've done, but more than that, what God has done, how much God loves them. And you know what? How much God loves you too. Because it doesn't matter. You know, when I look at them, I think, gosh, it doesn't matter how far you've gone, what kind of things you've gotten involved in. You know, we live in a world today where people are feeling so helpless, like they can never be restored again. And I'm looking at two women who have been made whole again, restored by the very handiwork of Almighty God. And if God can do it in their lives, man, He can do it in yours too.
Amen.
So stay with us. We'll be right back with more from Tanya Williams and Margene Oyama.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. The fact that there are business owners who care enough about our community to bring God's hope to people is one of the greatest gifts to society. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show appreciates their generous financial support.
The Good Life Radio Show is a ministry that has a family of financial supporters. Grateful for their generosity, Danny Yamashiro and the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show would like to thank Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, HMC Karaoke, Birch Union Service Station on School Street, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Michael Beasley of Kiani, Realtor Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, and Chinnan and Arenaga Financial Group Incorporated. To learn more about our sponsors and further sponsorship opportunities, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guests today, Tanya Williams and Marjean Oyama. Before our break, Tanya was sharing with us about how she, in one night, she actually went to a small group at Grace Bible Church.
Yes.
And she felt an overwhelming sense that she needed to share, that she was on drugs. Mm-hmm. And to her surprise, they accepted her as she was, and they prayed for her, and something miraculous happened in that. From that night on, she never went back to drugs, and that was over a decade ago.
Yes.
Now, what about rehab, Tanya?
You know, I did go to rehab. I went to rehab, and, you know, I mean, it's not like I wanted to go, but I went, and it was a 30-day program. When I came out, I don't even know how long I was clean for, but I went back to doing drugs. I mean, because once you get in the same atmosphere or the same routine, it kind of just like kicks in. That's what you want to mm-hmm. be doing. Mm-hmm. And it's like where I live, I mean, I know where I do my drugs and stuff, so it just kind of just rolled back into the same routine.
So you would go to rehab before, basically for you, you it didn't really work, it didn't
no.
really help, you went back.
I
so
did.
After this night though,
mm-hmm. after that night, I mean, I had a glow. I couldn't even, it was overwhelming. It's like I had a glow. People were asking me if I was pregnant. I said, I'm fat, but I'm not pregnant. It was like a glow that I had. Yeah.
Now, Marjean, one of your clients is not coming back anymore. How did it affect you?
Oh, I mean, actually, it was fine, I mean, because of the way she was, but, no, let's put it this way, actually, it was okay, it was, because she would actually still come around, but not to buy. She would just come around and, like, sit in the room and watch us get high, and I'd be like, okay, Tanya, are you sure you want to do this? And she's like, yeah, yeah. But you know what, I honestly think by her coming and doing that, even though she felt like she was testing herself or whatever it is she was going through at the time, that she was looking at me as, okay, I'm going to work on her. You know, I mean, I don't know if you say victim, but I mean, maybe then I would have felt like a victim. I mean.
She had her sights on you.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah, you know.
Wait a minute. So you used to go, you're not taking drugs anymore.
No.
But you would go back.
I would go back. I would go to Marjean's house, even my
we
other
were
girlfriend.
Friends, that's why.
Yeah.
Through all the, you know, like how we actually came about meeting again in this drug world was because I used to deal and go up to this house where she used to hang out, and then that's how she became my customer. But after all that, we became real good friends where I came close with her family, her kids, her mom. We, like I said, we'd go bingo, and then there was sports and all that, football and stuff. So we were still friends, mm-hmm. But I kind of like was tripping on her that she would like come in and test herself. But I think she was actually, there was a purpose for her.
Well, yeah, what was that about? I mean, most people would want to go the opposite direction, right?
Yeah, and you know, that's what you learn. You can't stay like in the same
playground.
Yeah. And it's like, it was such an overwhelming feeling that I felt. It's like, I don't know why I was testing myself. I mean, I would go and I would, like, ooh, they would be doing it. I would be like, ooh, ooh, I like your smell. and I would take it and smell it. But when I would smell it, it would bring back these memories. But then, you know, it would always be on the way coming home. I would be thanking God that it's like, because all that they're feeling, all that they were doing, it's like, I know exactly how they're feeling and stuff. And it's like, I don't want to go back there. Mm. And I noticed every time I would be driving home, I would be thanking God. That, out of that whole thing, that's what I remember. I don't know why I would go and test myself.
But she would also be sharing with me about how she came sober and what, you know, she's been, that she goes to church and stuff now. So there's probably another purpose why she
was
there.
So you were sharing... You were talking about
reaching out
with her.
With not even realizing it, though. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was just everyday life.
Now, how about your small group? These Japanese ladies that prayed for you. And were you still meeting with them?
Yes.
You were?
Yes.
During all this?
Oh, I mean, my once a week I would meet. And it's like, it was good. I was like, I enjoyed it now. Now that I felt free.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a good thing.
And how did it affect your marriage?
I put my marriage through a lot, so it really did help. I mean, my husband was happy, my mom was happy that I wasn't doing drugs. My kids, they didn't know. And so even though I was clean, I remember, you know, and people would, when I did my testimony, people would come up to me and, you know, tell me, oh, you know, good job and stuff like that. I would be like, oh, thank you. I said, but don't say anything to my kids because my kids still don't know anything. And so that was another part that I had to, do was tell my kids, and that freed me some more.
Really?
Yeah, because now I can just be open about it and, you know, can just talk freely about how good God is.
You know, I think there's something very important that needs to be highlighted in your story as I'm listening. It's the power of confession. Power of just being, you know, the truth setting someone free.
Yeah.
Being able to openly just say this. And it sounds like it started when you were with your small group first time.
Yeah.
That you could be open before others and say, this is who I am. Because so many times we all can get caught into the trap or the trappings of acting.
Yes.
We perform, right?
Oh, that is
and
totally
we project image here and there. And, you know, it's a subtle way of, you know, we want to carve out how people think we are.
Yeah.
And we ourselves know that that's really not who we are.
You hit it on the nail.
But why don't you speak to tell us more?
I mean, you totally hit it on the nail. Even though I would go and do drugs, I never really wanted people to know I was doing drugs. I don't know how dumb that sounds, but it's true. And so it's like me going there that night. I mean, I was trying to be alcohol prim and proper, but I was only fooling myself. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, it was like bottled up. And it's like I said, going there, I didn't realize I was going to say it. But when I did, wow.
You know, the scripture says in the book of 1 John, if we confess our sins, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Mm. And it's that confession. I mean, I've experienced times when, you know, some of us are better actors than others even, you know. I mean, you can create this facade.
Yeah.
But man, when you just open up and share, you know, someone listening today, Marjean and Tanya, they might be at that point where it's like bottled up so much and they want to be free. And the thing is to find someone, it doesn't even have to be a group, it could be just someone that you need to just, someone that you might already know, someone that you feel, you just have a sense that you can trust them. And like in your case, you didn't know them all your life. Sometimes it's like that, right? It's just somebody you met or somebody. But to be able to open up and to confess and to be accepted just as you are. You know, it's Christ that comes in and changes us. And it's humbling too. It's humbling too when we when we do confess, because we humble ourselves before God and say, you know what, I want to be accepted by you. I want to be honest. And there's a freeing aspect in that. Marjean, what was going on in your heart now when you're actually watching your friend Tanya, who was your customer? You're seeing her change. You know, she's like glowing. What was going on in your heart?
Okay, let me be honest. Actually, I liked what was going on for her, and I used to kind of, like I said, always, you know, wonder why she was doing that and stuff. But like I said, we were friends, so it was okay. But I wasn't ready, and you know, even though she would talk to me and stuff like that, I wasn't ready. I didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically, that's what it was. And we just still, but we would still be friends.
So you didn't really want to get into the
Christianity
and stuff. Just okay, it's good for you, Tanya. Good. So that went on for what, years?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because I've been, I think, sober maybe only going on what, four years or five years? Four years.
I think four.
Because really, how I got sober, it had nothing to do with church or, I mean, like, no matter what. But like I said, every time I would see Tanya and I would have stuff going on in my life and I would talk to her, she would always say, can I pray for you? I would let her pray for me, you know, and stuff like that. And then she would always talk to me about church, but I just wasn't ready. But how I really got sober was, and to this day, my mom even doesn't know it, but my mom took me to Vegas for a month. And then because I just didn't have it, and when I came back, while I was up there, I just decided I'm not going to do it. And when I came back, I just decided I wasn't going to do it anymore, and I didn't. Because I didn't like what it was doing to me already anymore. I was at a point in my life where the drug was my high already. I wasn't making the money. I was, you know, just getting in, you know, spots and then just, everything with my family was just, you know, just going. So it was just, one thing after another. So I just felt like I needed to stop already. And I did. I came back from Vegas. I told my kids, you know what? Mom's done already. I'm Paul.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're like, yeah, you know, because they heard it before. Because I went to treatment for 3 months. I got sober for 5 years. For 5 years, actually, and I went back. But this time, I was done already. And then how I got into church was I was going through something with my mom, and then I told Tanya, and then she prayed for me, and then said, you know, if you... And then I said, okay. I think she wanted to fall out of the car when she, this was on the way to bingo. And I was crying. I was breaking down. And I was like, and then so she prayed for me. And she goes, you know what? There's church tonight. You want to come? And I said, you know what? Yeah, I'll come.
And I was like, what? I didn't expect a yes. You know what I mean? I was just expecting, well, maybe next time. Like, always.
Always, yeah.
And you led her to Christ?
Yeah. So I feel no matter what, I mean, I guess God was working in her in whatever way, even though, you know, just I guess by her keeping an eye on me, I guess, just being there, you know, even though I was still doing what I was doing. And yeah.
You know, when we come back from our break, I'd like for you to share what difference it's made for your family, too. And now are you a part of a small group also?
Yes.
Okay. You can talk a little bit about... You know, I think there's something important with fellowship. And, you know, I wonder how many relationships are spared or are enriched because of fellowship. Mm-hmm. Fellowship with other followers of Christ.
Yeah.
But to be very transparent, very open about it in that time, and to be very feel safe doing that. When we come back, we'll hear more from Margene Oyama and Tanya Williams. They're sharing straight from the heart, no holds barred, open sharing, free true. Okay, stay with us, we'll be right back.
The road of desperate life, namelessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
On a dark winter night at Hawaii's Pali Ridge, Danny Yamashiro's life was forever changed as he fell 300 feet off a cliff, attempting to rescue his girlfriend. With a fractured skull, torn scalp, a shattered ankle, and smashed body, he fell again, another 100 feet. No one thought he would live. Danny's book, Paradise Calls, is a spellbinding story of survival and hope. A first-hand account of crushed dreams, recovery, and renewed faith to bring Christ's message of hope to people everywhere. Here's Danny.
As you read Paradise Calls, may God bless you and enrich your life with divine hope in the midst of whatever challenge you face today.
Danny Yamashiro can also be heard on the Good Life Radio Show at 2 p.m. on the new KGU 99.5 FM and on AM 760 KGU. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. And remember to get Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. For more information, visit Danny online at thegoodlifehawaii.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Tanya Williams and Margene Oyama. You know, a program like the Good Life Hawaii radio show, of course, we are listener supported. And we are also supported by some very generous sponsors who make it available for you to receive this broadcast. And I want to just say a big mahalo to Dr. Kerry Ishihara and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician, Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Woodward Family Dentistry, Bert's Unical right here on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group, and Armor of Truth. To hear more programs like this, like Tanya Williams and Margene Oyama, go to www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can contact me by Facebook or visit me, send me an email, danny@thegoodlifehawaii.org. I always love hearing from you. I appreciate hearing from you. Before our break, we're talking with Margene about her change, her conversion experience in a car. She's just hitting a real rough spot in life. She asks Tanya, if she's ready to want to go to church. And she says yes, to Tanya's surprise. How did it affect your family, Margene?
Oh, how does it affect my family? You know what, to tell you the truth, I really honestly doesn't know how it affects my family, because my family is it's a typical dysfunctional family. I'm still going through a lot with my family, but I can see what it's doing for me. For me, it's been helping me deal with things on a different level, mm-hmm. where I can just let things go easier, not all the time, honestly, but easier. Because I'm still, you know, I mean, I have a relationship with him, and I understand, but I sometimes still have a rough time following through, mm-hmm. because I'm quick to act and quick with the mouth, but I'm getting there. Mm-hmm. I'm getting there, and I'm sure with time my family will, you know, see and hopefully, you know, come to church and also that too. I try to get them to come, but I don't wanna, you know, force them. They come. Well, my daughters will go when they feel like it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which I'm hoping they could come more. But
you know, Tanya, I'm listening and I'm thinking, hey, we're all in a process.
Yeah.
We're all in a process.
Yeah.
You know, it's like sometimes people get the wrong idea. Well, I mean, in your situation, it doesn't always happen for people, too, that they just, after going, because some people might think they're just going to one small group, you know. But God can do that, as He did it in your life.
Yeah.
He can do it in anybody's life.
Really can.
And His magnanimous movement can just comprehensively change a person like that.
Yeah.
But, hey, life is a process. Mm-hmm. The Christian life is a process.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like you just swallow a pill. And it could be a problem, too, when we start communicating, like, hey, just try Jesus.
Mm,
almost like it's a good luck. You tried everything, now just try Jesus. Like, and say this, almost like just say this magical prayer after me. And, I mean, how many of us know people who said the prayer and their life got worse?
Yeah.
You know, they went forward at a evangelistic crusade, or they raise their hand. That's not to diminish or invalidate what God has done, but I'm just wanting, I think it's important to emphasize the reality of the process of the Christian life, and that it takes time, And
no, yeah.
Especially in a life that has been damaged significantly on an ongoing basis in the past, you know, yes, God can, he can speed things up, but he can also, he's also a God of process as well.
Well, yeah, it's a, everything is a learning, and I believe in that, and you know, but I, and I've seen his work, and with me, and with my family, like I said, we went through things, and I've also seen where he has shown us the way, and shown me that, you know, that things can be better, and that even though you go through this, there's always something better mm-hmm. on the other side, or something waiting on the other side. It's, you know, it's to, I honestly believe that he really doesn't give us anything that we can't handle. And because like recently my boyfriend, my other half, well, he got laid off permanently from his job, and I was like really devastated. I was like, you know, and then I brought it up at small group, and we prayed, and then they told me, you know something, you know, maybe this is just something better will happen. And I don't know, as time went on, you know, at first I was like, yeah, whatever, you know. But then as time went on, things started happening where he started picking up side jobs and, you know, getting work. And then he got hired back with a company. So, you know, I started to see that, you know, there is another side that mm-hmm. God will provide, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hearing you, and I can attest to it. I've experienced it too, Tanya. I'm sure you have as well. I mean, God, we can see the hand of God working mm-hmm. in our lives. Mm-hmm. In the next few days, you're going to hear more stories from people like Tanya and Marjean. Invite someone to listen in and be inspired. Visit us at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Isaiah 40 verse 7 says, "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guests today, Tanya Williams and Marjean Oyama. Until next time, I'm Danny Yamashiro, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life.